Boy, this sure is a great looking bunch here today. You know, you're probably doing like me. Says it seems a little quiet in here. What's different about today? Well, as you know, the pastor's not here, right? But that's no reason for us to be quiet. Amen. We should be shouting and celebrating and just thanking God and giving him praise that we are able to be here today. Amen. You know, I've got so much on my mind right now, and I'm thinking about this is what would really make the pastors happy, is even when they're not there, nothing changes. Everybody just kind of fill in for them, and we're just excited and everything and just praising God, and just like he was here. He is. His spirit is here. Amen? Now, I'm not saying this because I know he's watching this morning. But it's so good to be here. And as I was preparing to come, I thought about family. I said, even though the family that I grew up with were scattered all over the United States now, but you're here, your family. Amen. Whether we really got a hold of that yet, it's true. We are children of God. That makes us brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter how we look. We're still brothers and sisters. Amen. As a matter of fact, even my brothers and sisters, we don't look alike. We don't. When we were going to school, many of them says, you're their brothers, your brothers, me and my brother, because we were so different. And, of course, he liked to talk. I didn't. So that kind of tells you something about me. Amen? But listen, it's not about me today. During the month of October, we recognize pastors and ministers for all that they have done since the last October, right? But it shouldn't be from October to October. It should be every day. And it just culminates on a particular time when we just really celebrate our pastors and ministers. Amen? I have a word for us today. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we pray. Because I want to just kind of like turn me off. Turn God on. Amen. That's what you need. Amen. That's what I need. Amen. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, thank you for who you are and whose we are. Thank you, Lord God, that we're able to be here today. And even those that were not, they're watching, Lord God. So we are still joined together in hearts and minds. And Lord God, we just thank you for all that you're doing in our life, Lord God. Thank you for this season in which we live, O God, that we can trust you, Lord God, to keep us safe, Lord God, that you are with us. You have ministering angels that you place around us, Lord God, to go with us wherever we go, Lord God, so that, Lord God, your protection is always upon us. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Indeed, as we assemble today, there's a word from you for us, Lord God. Lord God, help me, Lord God, that I let Don step aside, Lord God, and that your Holy Spirit take charge, Lord God. That, Lord God, the words that I speak are for each and every one of us, Lord God. That today we're not pointing fingers, Lord God, but we're looking at the people of God. Thank you, O God, as you have your way this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, what a mighty God. You may be seated. And it sounded like somebody wanted to praise the Lord. Well, by all means, don't let me stop you. If you got a praise going on, let it rip. Amen. Well, today, this is what I'm going to be talking about, Pastor's Appreciation. Now, he did not give me the message to speak today for Pastor's Appreciation, just so you know that... He didn't stay out so that I can come in and talk about pastor's appreciation. No, that's not it at all. But I listened to the Holy Spirit, and I says, what is this all about? I says, because this is not a mistake. This is not in something that the devil thought that he would do to stop what's going on today. No, it's going exactly the way God intended for it to go. As long as we get that, we don't have to feel down, sorry, or anything. Just let God have his way. Amen? And what a wonderful day it is. I was excited, and I got up, and I was praying for the pastor and had him on my mind. And I told him, I says, just get your rest. Get your rest. I says, because you're going to need it. When we get back going here and get back up on your feet, I says, we got a lot of work to do. Did y'all hear me? I said, I didn't say he had a lot of work to do. I said, we, get that, we have a lot of work to do. So I suggest to you, eat right, get your rest, take care of yourself. You might need to get back in the gym and get yourself built up and worked up. I says, because we got work to do. Amen. I thought about, I said, beacon. I thought about the word beacon. The beacon is shining. Why do we have beacons shining? It's in a dark place. It's shining so that people can find their way. Amen. The time is now for the church to be the beacon in this world in which we're living. Amen? Now, I don't know which way I'm going to go here, but I know what I had in mind. But we did ask the Holy Spirit to have his way, right? We are so needed in this world in which we live. It's no time to sit back, to stay home and try to avoid. Get your mask or whatever you need to do. Get it on and get out there. Amen. This is what people need. They need to see the people of God. What are we doing during this pandemic? Are we cowering down and hiding and not doing what we should be doing? No, we should be on the forefront, leading the way. Let people know what we're about, why we're doing what we're doing, and that what God is doing in our life, they can do in your life as well. Amen? Amen. All right, let me slow down a little bit. Well, when we think about today and all that the pastors are doing, I'm going to tell you, they got a lot of energy, don't they? You ever wonder where they get all this energy from? I see Pastor Matt, he's running around all over the place. He's going, he don't seem to ever slow down. I imagine he sleeps very good. Because he really works. Pastor Joe and Pastor Brian, I see them all. I says, they are busy. I says, where do they get all this energy? And I thought about it. I says, well, I look and I says, you know, I used to be like that, but then I was younger then. I said, so I just have to do it at another level. I might not move as fast, but I'll get it done. Amen. I'll get it done. Just be patient with me. I'll get it done. Amen. Well, pastor's appreciation is something that some people actually have a problem with. And they wonder, why do we have to have appreciation? We help you all during the year. We do this and we do that, and we give in offerings and paying tithes. And says we do all these things. Why do we need a special day? Now, I'm not here to point fingers, but there are those who feel that way. So I want to help you today. There's a whole lot more to it than you realize. Amen. But it is National Clergy Month. So all throughout this week or month, they're going to be celebrating pastors and ministers. Amen. So let's give them the honor that they deserve. Amen. How did Apostle Paul handle this? Because, see, this is not something new. This goes way back when Apostle Paul was ministering. Amen. And that wasn't yesterday. But look what he said in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 9th and the 10th verse. It says, for the law of Moses says, you must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. Was God thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us so that the one who plows and the one who threshes the grain might expect a share of the harvest. Don't expect to keep going and going and going and we don't give them what they need. Then you will be wondering what's going on when you see them slowing down and things aren't getting done. And you start wondering what's wrong. But we've got to keep them up physically and spiritually. This is why you're always hearing, pray for the pastors. Pray for the pastors. There's a big war going on in the spirit realm. They need our support. We are the family. Amen? And they need our prayers. So don't ever forget that. Think about it every time you are facing a situation and you're praying and asking the Lord, think the pastor needs the same thing. Pray for him. Not just the pastor, but each one of us. Amen? Each one of us to care for one another, to love on one another. Amen. Something that came to my mind while I was sitting there and how we are to be to one another made me think about my brothers and sisters. Out of six, I'm the oldest. I took care of my brothers and sisters. I remember this one occasion, someone had attacked my sister. One of the guys at school attacked her, and she had just gotten a new coat, and he threw her in the mud, and she was a mess when she came home. Oh, I was hot. I was hot. I was not operating in my character when I found him. And I'm not going to go through any details. I know your imaginations are already going wild out there. But he pulled the knife out on me. Didn't stop me at all. I took his knife and I kept doing what I was doing. You did not mess with my family. You didn't do it. I didn't care how big they were. I remember one day, my brother was in a fight and this guy stood taller than me. It did not matter how big he was. And I'll refrain from the details, but I did what I had to do because you don't mess with family. Amen? Amen? And I thought, this is the way the people of God ought to be. You don't mess with family. Don't mess with any one of you, or you're going to have to deal with all of us. Amen? Amen? So when Satan comes your way, you don't have to worry about a thing because you got a big family that's got your back. Amen. Amen. We don't play that. That's not what's going to happen in our family. If we have something going on in the family, let me tell you, we always had daddies to deal with. We still have daddy to deal with. Amen. He does not like for us to fuss and fight. That should not be among us. Amen? Amen? All right, let me see if I can move on just a little bit more. Paul justifies the practice as a fair exchange between the pastor and his congregation, in which both parties accrue benefits. So when we think about those who have a problem with the giving, the offering, the donations, the money, and giving all the money, so that's all we do is give, give, give. Now, you may not have heard that, but I have. I've been in church most of my life. Fact is, my father was a pastor all my life. I've seen and heard things you might not believe. But I know how people can be towards the pastor. And it's not all good. It shouldn't be among the people of God. Amen? He needs our support. And let me tell you something. He's not there necessarily because that's what he wants to do. It's the calling that God gave him. Just like I was the oldest in the family and I had a responsibility. Pastors have a responsibility. Check Paul and see what he had to say about it when in his conversion. It was required of him. It had nothing to do with where he had been, what he was doing. This was the calling in his life. And we, by the way, all have a calling. Amen?
Amen.
We'll get back to that in a minute. But while the church gets spiritual nourishment under the pastor's ministry, the pastors get natural provisions from the congregation. Amen? If we have sown unto your spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. And that's in 1 Corinthians 9 and 11. The Bible makes it very clear what we should be, how we should be towards our pastors and how we should be toward one another. Amen? How we help one another. Amen? There should not be one that's lacking among us. Amen? We're a big family. We have many things that we can contribute to one another. And that's what God wants, because what we have, God has given to us. Amen? Paul explained that when the Philippians got a chance to give to him while he was ministering in Thessalonica, it was not so much that they had to do it for him because he had learned to be content in all his circumstances. Their giving, he said, would be beneficial more to them than for him. So many miss that. And they think is we give, give, give. What we need to understand is an opportunity to receive. Amen? It's an opportunity to receive. And with that in mind, that would make me want to give more.
Amen?
Amen? Can anybody use more? Sure. Sure you can. You nobody's raising their hand. You don't want anybody to know. But that's okay. We already know. So keep that in mind when it comes time to give. It's not so much what you're giving up, but what you get in return. But now I don't want you to do it for that. Please, don't do it for that. You give it because you love. And you want to see your pastors prosper. You want to see them have the ability to keep doing what they're doing. Because it's not getting any easier, and it's not going to be any less. Amen? Not in the times in which we are living today. Amen? There's more demand on us to do more every day. Their giving, he said, would be beneficial more to them than to him. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an exciting sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the word. That's the word. Philippians 4, 17 through 19. That's the word. My God shall supply all your needs. Amen? Stand on the word. I remember Pastor shared a message with us not that long ago. The prophet, he went to a widow woman. And they were getting ready to make their last meal. It says, we're going to eat this and die. And what does the prophet do? He go and ask, he says, give me the first cake. Really? But we're going to die. We just got just enough now to eat ourselves. But you want me to give what I have? Of what I have? Well, let me tell you, they prospered. She never ran out. She continued to have. Isn't it wonderful to have so that you can share with someone else? You know what? No matter where you are right now, you can still do that. God will bless you. He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Keep that in mind. So since this is pastor's appreciation, let's go a little bit more about pastors and say, not about you. For me. So let's take a look at Ephesians 4. Many of you are familiar with these scriptures. But there was something there that just kind of stood out at me, and I want to share that with you today. Ephesians 4 and 1, it says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God." I'm not here because this is what I've been called, because I called me to do this. I didn't raise my hand and volunteer to do this. I was called. Because God had equipped. He had given me the ability to do what I'm doing. Let me give you an example of that. When I grew up, and my wife is still trying to get this wrapped around her head, I was so quiet when I was younger. If you didn't look around for me, you'd never know I was there. That's quiet. I wasn't rude or anything like that, but if you spoke, I would speak, but that was it. If you said hello, hello. That was it. Then one day, I heard, and I knew it was God, "I want you to preach my word." "You want me to do what?" "Wait a minute, you understand, I have a problem getting in front of people. And when I get in front of people, my tongue gets tied and my lips are locked shut and my mind shuts down and I don't know which way to go, what to say or what to do." You realize God reminded me of who he was. And I says, "Lord," I says, "call my brother." Now, who does this sound like? "Call my brother. He's an eloquent speaker. He loves getting in front of people and talking to people." Who does this sound like? Sounds like Moses. And that sure showed up too. He says, "You sound like Moses." He says, "But I provided and I made a way for Moses to do what I called him to do." Now, in exempt my brother, he's a preacher too, but I thought about this so many times, and I shared it with them in prayer. I says, one day I was visiting my brother, and my sister-in-law was enjoying us talking, and we having quite a conversation. Actually, I was doing all the talking, and she started laughing, and I'm like, "Why are you laughing so?" So she says, "Because I remember you when you was quiet. Now you've gotten pretty gabby." But let me tell you, God has done so much in my life. I got a lot to talk about. I want to share with other people what God is doing in me so that they can experience the same thing in their life. Isn't it amazing how God can make that transformation in a person? That he does that and he places you in you the love that he has for each one of us. That we would love one another and we want to do things to encourage one another. If I got something good, I want to share it with you. Isn't that amazing? God does all of that. And I love it. We need to do it more. Amen. Just sharing what we have. I don't call myself a preacher. I share the gospel. I share with you what God is doing in my life. Because if it's so amazing to me, which it is, I would love to see God doing that in your life. So I call it sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God is still on the throne. He's still working in the lives of people. There are many that he's working through right now. Even as we sit here, you're getting tidbits of information. He says, "I can't wait to try this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do better." Amen. Going to do better than what I'm doing. But God, here's what Paul said in verse 1. He says, "Live a life worthy of your calling." So there's a requirement. There's certain things that we have to do. We got to live by God's word. Amen. It'll help us. It'll strengthen us. Even help us in times such as this when you're not sure really what to say. Give you the words to say. Amen. Something I thought about this, and I said, this is amazing. First, I wanted to introduce myself to those of you who don't know me. My name is Donald Dillard, and I want you to know we have someone very special that's here with us today, the Holy Spirit. He is with us today. Amen. I love that because I really wanted to see that is we realize we're special to have him to be with us today together in the house of God. Amen. He's here with us. And I thought about so many times, I said I wasn't going to say his name, but his name was Steve Colbert. And late night, I know some of you don't stay up that late. But late night, every time he comes out, he introduces himself. The crowd goes crazy. All because he said what his name is. And I says, what do we get when we say Jesus? Jesus. Thank you, Shekinah. She does it well. When I say Jesus, you say Jesus. She's got it. When I say war cry, you say Jesus. Jesus. Amen. And we need to lift up the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. That is how we fight our battles. Is we continue to declare the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was downtown yesterday and they had different events going on there, I saw the mixture of the world and the church. And I says, you know, we got to make a difference. We got to make a difference in the things that we say and do. Because some people see the church as just any ordinary. You do any and everything with just no difference. My Bible said to be holy, there must be a difference. My Bible says that. I read it. To be holy, there must be a difference. In other words, there needs to be something different about us. It needs to be bizarre because it should make people go, something's different about him. What is it? And they can't explain it. That's okay. That gives us the opportunity to explain it, right? Amen. To be who we are to be in this world that is so desperately in need of seeing the people of God. Us being mobile and out among them and being where they are, yet as a child of God, there's something different about us. Amen. Look what Paul says here in verse 2. He says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Are you listening? Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Amen. Or you. He's still working on us. Amen. But we have to be patient. Sometimes we do things that even make us wonder, why did I do that? Why did I say that? But that's all right. Please be patient with us. Help us. We need you. Pray for us. Because God is not through with any of us. He's bringing us all to that place in him that he would have us to be. Amen. And we get there by helping one another. We'll see that. Verse 3, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Are you hearing me? For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There are so many looking for hope today. They don't know where to go, who to look to. They go to the counselors, and some counselors, they still don't get it. They go to some churches, and I hate to say this, but it's true. They go to some churches, and they still don't get it, but not this one. Not this one. This is why I'm still here. Because the hope is here. We may be going to the Hope Center to minister, but hope is right here, amen, in Jesus Christ, and we see God working and doing what only God can do in our lives. And they experience the growth of one another as we love more and more. Amen. I see it. I see it. Amen. If you look for it, you can find it. It's here. We weren't perfect when we came, but things are getting better. And if you don't think so, keep listening to the pastor's messages. I'm hearing him growing more and more. The pastor, I'm hearing him growing and say, I've been around a long, well, I won't go that far, but I've been around a while and learned some things along the way. And I observe people. I love people. Many times I sit around and just watch people because I'm a people watcher. I love to see how people react and, you know, looking at the different expressions, like I'm looking out here today and I'm seeing all these smiles. It makes me feel good. Amen. But it's very important. I believe Jesus was the same way. He was a people person. When Nicodemus came to him, he already knew what was on his mind, why he was there. And he just, what he had to say just baffled Nicodemus. Except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except you be born of the water, of the Spirit, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. Just think about that. What was Nicodemus thought? But wait a minute. I'm a grown man. I'm bigger than my mother, and you want me to do what? That was his thinking, and this was a well-educated man. So many things about God we don't understand. But I'm going to tell you what, I've learned that everything that God wants you to know, he'll reveal to you. Everything. And he wants us to know what we need to know to live for him. Amen? He does. And I am so glad about that. Let's continue. As we continue to look in here in Ephesians 5, it says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. Amen? We all have the same Father. We have different mothers, but we have the same Father's Father is our Heavenly Father. He has no respect of person. He loves everyone the same. And sometimes it seems like he's picking on you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we ask him, but why me, Lord? Because he loves you. He knows exactly how to handle us. That's a big thing when raising children. Because you can't handle them all the same. While you're thinking about that, cannot handle children all the same. If we got any new parents in here, you'll find out. You have to learn your child and what motivates them, what makes them tick. You have to do that to encourage them, to help them. Many teachers know this is true, that you cannot handle all the children the same. They don't all learn the same way because we're different. We're different in so many ways. But we have a Heavenly Father that knows every one of us. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what you need. Whereas somebody might want to speak hard words to you to encourage you because that works for some people. But there are others, you say something a little harsh and they just fall apart. You know, they can't handle it. But God knows how to handle us. He knows how to help us each and every day. If we just go to him and just say, Lord, I need you. Guess what? He already knows. He's just waiting for you to come to him. So give him what he wants. Go to him. Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. Look to the Lord. He'll help you in every situation. Amen. Will he help you on your job? Yes. Will he help you when you're driving your car?
Yes.
Yes. Cut me off. You. This was my thing. Hope you get where you're going.
Yeah.
But God knows exactly what I need. There have been times when I had to pull over because I was so overwhelmed by what God was doing in me, and I was weeping and crying, and I can't really see. And I says, before I have an accident, let me just pull over and stop and just experience whatever it is that God is doing in me right now. Amen. Verse 8 says, that is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that he says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. Verse 10, and the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with him. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this as I go through this, starting in verse 11. Now, these are the gifts of Christ. These are the gifts Christ gave to who? The church. Who is the church? If you are the church, raise your hand. Most of us raised our hands. I like that. We are the church, amen? Amen? So the Bible is talking about us. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now, we didn't assign ourselves these. He gave us gifts. Sounds like to me it's something that we didn't have. But he chose us, gave us a gift. Amen. How many love gifts? How many love giving gifts?
How many love receiving
gifts? It's interesting. I saw more hands with giving than I did with receiving. Let me tell you something. I had to help somebody out very close to me. Receiving is good. Receiving something I had to learn to do this. When someone wants to give me a gift, don't refuse it. That hurts. When they want to do something good for you and it makes them feel good to do it, and then you reject it. Receive your gifts. And I've seen people have a problem with that. They don't like receiving gifts. Receive gifts, good gifts. There's no gift better than the gift that God has given us.
Amen.
His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. He's a gift. It's a gift to us. Amen. Don't reject him, but receive him. And by doing that, your life will change.
Amen.
Will be that much the better. I'm not saying that you won't be faced with situations in the world, but he will help you to deal with the situations in the world. Amen. He will help you to get through those hard times. Amen?
Right.
But there's also some times when it looks like you're just happy. Now I'm talking about me, and I don't know why. I'm excited, and my wife, I tell Vanessa, I'm excited about something, but I don't know what it is. And she'll see me, I'm just running around the house, and she said, are you all right? I says, I'm excited about something. God is doing something. I don't know what it is. So you don't want to reject that gift that God has for you. It's for everyone who will receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at verse 12. Talks about their responsibility. Those who have received those gifts which have been called. Said their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to do what? Build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, I saw your hands. Don't take them away now. I saw your hands. You are the church. And for those who are still wondering, why do I go to church? It's because there's something that you need to get when you get there. And that is so that you will be able to do the work that God has called you to do. It's like going to school. You are equipped. You are trained to know how to live for God and everything else that God gives the pastor to teach us. Amen? And it made me think. I says, no, I can't call them all. Then I'll leave somebody out. And they'll go, but what about me? So everything that we need to know, we get when we come. And that's the pastor's job. It's not always easy. Ask the teacher. Is it easy to teach all the kids? No. Some of them you got to spend more time with. Some of them you got to be more patient with. And you got to be able to explain things in more than one way. Amen? Or they just don't get it. Some of us are a little slow. Just so you know, I'm not talking about you. Some of us are a little slow. We don't get things right away. Now, I'm going to tell you what I do get quick. Show me how to do something, and I'll grab it just like that. But if you explain it to me, I'm like, huh? What'd you say? And I'll come back, and I'll ask you. And I'll do that through the whole process. But if you show me, I pick it up just like that. That's saying a whole lot. That's a message in itself. Amen? So their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to be the full and complete standard of Christ. We're not to be children always. Here's what we love. We love seeing our children grow. Amen. From the very first time they took their first step. And we encourage them to take more steps. Next thing you know, they're running around. Next thing you know, slow down. Stop running through the house. We couldn't wait to see this. Now that they're doing it, they're running all over the place, amen? But we love to see their progress. Now, when I read this and I thought about this, I says, that is so true. I says, we think about giving money and all these other things, but what about our lives? Pastors love to see us maturing, growing in Christ. They're teaching and they're laboring to help us to be who God would have us to be. They love to see results of what they're doing. Amen. So don't hold back. Get what the pastor's teaching. Run with it. Amen. Run with it. If you run into any situations you don't understand, go back to him. He will love that. I speak that as a pastor. I speak that as a parent. We want our children to come back. We tell them, says, we're always here for you. Anything you got, any questions you need to be sure, come back to us. And sometimes that seems to be the hardest thing to do is to get them to come back to you. But God has set all this in order for each and every one of us so that we can be just what his word says, so that we can become mature. Amen. Verse 14 says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teachings. Right. We will not be fluenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, somebody say instead. We will speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Amen. And last but not least, he makes the whole body. I love this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work. Let me say that again. As each part does its own special work. Let me say that again. As each part does its own special work. Did you get that? Do I need to say it again?
One more.
As each one do what we've been called to do, which is unique to us, As we do that, not when we do it, because we may not ever get around to it, but as we do it, what happens? What does the Bible tell us? It says it helps the other parts grow. Is this getting clear to you now? It's not all on the pastor, but on every one of us. Everyone, it doesn't leave anybody out. That's what I get from the word. It doesn't leave as the body of Christ, the church. We all have an assignment to help one another. Amen? You don't look at somebody needing help and says, well, I hope they eventually find out. You know, sometimes we just kind of look at says somebody will get somebody help them, somebody. God sent somebody over there to help them, and we got everything they need right here. That's not the body of Christ. That's not what we do. Amen. I'm so glad that I'm here at Faith Assembly. That's not what we do. We help one another. Amen. Sometimes when we're feeling bad, especially, why does it happen on Sunday mornings? Like it's trying to keep us from going to church.
Exactly.
That's when I put even more effort to get there. Sometimes I either drag myself out of there. But I'm going because I know I'm going to be encouraged when I get here. Amen? I know I'm going to be so glad that I did. And it's never failed. Come and be among the people of God. Not everybody will talk to you. And I notice we have a problem with that, trying to get around to everybody. You just can't do it, y'all. There's too many of us. You'll be here too long. But just one or two that you get with and you know, there's some encouraging words exchange. Oh, yes, yes. I'm looking around and I'm looking at them now. And I says, I know who you are. I see Papa over here. Yes, I thank God for him. He knows. He seemed to know just what I need. He's not the only one. I just happened to be looking at him, and I remember seeing the smile on his face. Amen. Isn't it amazing how you get to love people? But that's true for every one of us. And if you're new here, you're in the right place. I just want to tell you that. You're in the right place. We want to continue to do so. Well, this is what it's all about with pastors. When we come in here and you see the energy that they have. You see all that they're doing. You say, it looks like it's endless. How do you keep doing what you're doing? Because my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
He gives us the strength that we need. All we got to do is trust him. Continue to do what he's called us to do, even when we don't feel like it sometimes. Now, with that, I say this. Back to take care of yourself. Eat right. Get your rest. And watch and see if it doesn't make a difference in your life. And I know you would love for me to leave this one out. Do the exercise. Get back in the gym. And just so you know, if you need somebody to go with you, I'm available. I wasn't going to point out anybody. I'm available. I want to go because I understand God has a work for us to do. And I'm going to have to be healthy to do it. I'm going to have my strength to do it. When you don't get your rest like you should, you don't think right. You don't function right. But it's so important that we do this. Why? Because God has great work for us. We to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, pastor is watching this. Hello, pastor. And I'll hear how well I did. I made my point. I know how it goes. They say I've been around the church most of my life. But this is where I would rather be. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my football games. But I'm so glad to come on after service. People be rushing to get to the restaurant. I'd be rushing to get home to the game. Amen. I love my football games. But I will not let it take the place of being here. Amen. I love my brothers and sisters. I don't know all of you. And most of you, if you was to ask me what is your name, I can't tell you. Even though you've told me many times. But that's okay. Please, be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Amen. Amen. Well, that's all I have for you today. But I want you to keep in mind what this is all about. I've shared with you about the importance of appreciations. This is not something that, well, you look and say, well, I don't have this and I don't have that. Give what you can as the person that gave their last penny. Give what you can, but give it with a glad heart. Give it with a glad heart. God will bless you for doing so because he already knows. After all, he is the one who supplies your every need. So give freely with a happy and glad heart. Amen?
And as we see our
pastor prospering, guess what's going to happen to us? We prosper. Amen? So we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Amen? I need you. You need me. Amen? Let us stand. If you want Christ in your life, if you want to be a part of this family, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hands. We want to give you that opportunity to do just that. I know where you are today. I guess that's why it took me so long to give my life to Christ. I kept putting it off. I says, well, I'll do it one day. Well, I was 27 years old. For somebody who grew up in the church, that's a long time. Because I kept running. Don't run anymore. Today is the day. Amen. You will never regret it. I never look back. I never look back. I am so glad that he took me out of the situation that I was in. I was not happy. Things weren't coming together the way I'd like for it to. And most of all, if I had died then, I would not have been going to heaven to be with the Lord. But he gave me an opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, when the Lord got through talking to me, like so many have talked to you, I said, yes, Lord. I was tired of the way things was going in my life. Jesus, hallelujah. Narababosa, glory. I was tired of the way things was going in my life. And I gave my life to Christ. I says, I want to be saved. One thing that I did is I said, Lord, as soon as I get to the church, I know I will be saved. And that's exactly what happened. I got to the church and told the pastor I want to be saved. And he gave me that opportunity. Something that I learned as soon as I was received the Holy Spirit, that I didn't have to go to church to get saved. See, we got to know how to teach this thing. I didn't have to go to church to get saved. He told me I would have been saved right where I was if I had just surrendered. If I had just said, yes, Lord. Asked him to come into my life and forgive me of my sins because he was willing and ready right there to do it. Now is that opportunity. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, we're not asking you to come up front. But let us pray this prayer together, and I want you to repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for who you are and for your son, Jesus Christ.
Died on the cross
that I may have life. I come to you now to ask forgiveness of my sins.
And ask forgiveness
I want you to be in my life, my Lord. I will live for you. I will be your
child.
Whatever you would have me to do, Lord, I would be willing. Just receive me, O God, that I be saved today. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of closing my ears. But come now, Jesus, into my heart and save me. Amen. If you meant what you said, today you are saved. It's just that easy. Amen. You don't have to jump any hoops. You don't have to run around. You don't have to do anything, any of that, because you don't earn it. There's nothing that you can do. It's a free gift. Yours for the asking. Amen.